I'll never ever forget for me my first mission trip that I ever went on in my previous job. It was the first time actually being out of Australia, and it was to Myanmar, Burma. And certainly a baptism by fire. We got to Myanmar. There was only one other travelling colleague that I went with. And there we found ourselves just after Cyclone Nargis. The country wasn't in the best shape. And it's under a military junta. And so it's a fairly oppressive place. In fact, I would say it's one of the most oppressive places I've ever been to in my life. And we were checking on some projects that my last church was involved in, and I was overseeing those projects. And so we had to go out into one of the villages, and I'm talking Lonely Planet, way off the beaten track kind of village to get there. And this was the van that we actually went in. And the reason why I took a photo of the back of that is with that title, Bridge to Life, as you'll find out in a few moments' time, because it was the wet season and it was pouring down with rain. I mean pouring down with rain. And our driver was not going slow. We were on the kind of main kind of highway drag, and he is flying, but the windscreen wipers aren't working. And so there is like no visibility, and I'm like the furthest I've ever been out of the Sutherland Shire before. And I'm very green to travel, and I am holding onto my seat for dear life. And for 20 minutes, we're weaving in and out of traffic, and I don't know why he was going so fast. There was no reason to go so fast, but he was flying with no visibility. And then about half an hour into the trip, he turned the windscreen wipers on. I felt like throttling him. I mean, we just had Zach, so I had this new little bub back at home, and I was just like, are you serious? That could have been helpful, I don't know, half an hour ago. And there we find ourselves out, actually off the beaten track, off the main roads. We're on dirt roads. It is so muddy. We're trying to get to this village when this van got stuck in the mud. Have you played a game stuck in the mud? Well, this wasn't much fun. In fact, the reason why I took a photo of that Bridge to Life, because I thought it was hilarious. I think it was more like Bridge to Death. And there we found ourselves off the beaten track. It's only one other travelling companion, the person that's implementing the project, Sukkapur, and basically the village. It's after lunch. It's going to get dark, I guess, at some point, and there is no power. There is no communications. There was the world's most scrawniest horse on the side of the road. Like, I'm saying really scrawny. Like, there's no meat on the bones of that horse. I know how it feels. And I'm thinking that horse ain't going to pull us out of the mud. And we were thinking about contingencies. It's actually quite dangerous to be in a village like that. You can be interpreted as a spy or who knows what. It's not safe for us Westerners to be out at night, especially in a place like Myanmar, in the back blocks there. And so we didn't know what to do. It was quite scary at some point. And then all of a sudden, a couple of blokes came out from nowhere and tried to start like pushing the van. I thought they were having a laugh. I thought they were just like, watch us, we'll try and get this van out, the two. Like, this is like, I'm talking really bulked. And then another couple of guys came out, and another couple, and another couple. And before too long, 20 people or so were around this van. And in the mud, shoulder to shoulder, pushing, trying to push this van. I didn't want to look like a soft kind of, you know, princess watching this happen. So I joined in on the action. I knew that these puppies weren't going to do much, but hey, I'll give it a go. And so there I found myself in the mud with these strangers, shoulder to shoulder, in the mud, trying to push out this van. And they delivered a moment I don't think I'll ever forget. Because there was a rhythm, a unity to their pushing, where the impossible actually happened. Together, we pushed this van out of the mud. I can't tell you how, whether it was supernatural strength, I don't know, but it was absolutely unbelievable. It was like the impossible became possible as we together, shoulder to shoulder, in the mud, pushing together in the same direction, we pushed that van out of the mud. And that moment has never really left me. I've always dreamed about what a local church could look like with a fresh unity. It was a moment where I got to taste unity in a fresh way. And when you taste unity, you don't want disunity. Imagine those men, kind of only a few pushing, I don't think we would have got there. Or imagine if they weren't pushing at the same time to get some sort of rhythm up. So the van started going backwards and forwards, and then somehow enough momentum got it out of the mud. I still don't know how it happened. It was absolutely bizarre. But what about for us as a local church? I wonder, what could it be like for us together to be in the mud of life, pushing in the same direction so that we can actually see kingdom momentum take hold here in this local church. Shoulder to shoulder is about a fresh unity that brings kingdom momentum. And Zephaniah, right at the end of his prophecy, he actually looks forward to a glorious future where lips are purified, where God's name is being called upon, and service unto God is characterized through serving shoulder to shoulder. Call, purify, call, serve are the key emphasis in this vision, shoulder to shoulder. Allow me to remind you of Zephaniah 3:9. Then I will purify the lips of the people, that they may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. Purify, call, and serve are the key emphasis here in shoulder to shoulder. And if Zephaniah's vision gets traction here, I believe we will taste a fresh unity. That's exciting. That's worth sacrificing for. That's worth investing into. Let's take a few moments to get acquainted with Zephaniah. I'm sure he's a relative stranger. If Zephaniah was here today, he would be like the new kid on the block. No one would know anything about him. You'd have to find out all about Zephaniah, because I'm thinking, who's read Zephaniah here? Come on. Oh, look at these hands. I love, we're a Bible reading church. And I've got to say that I didn't know much about Zephaniah. This is, you know, confession's good for the soul. I didn't know a whole lot about Zephaniah. Gee, I've enjoyed the research and the exploration. So let's just get acquainted a little bit with Zephaniah in the Bible. If anyone can find it without the index, I reckon, I don't know, flat white for you or cappuccino or just something. If you can get to Zephaniah this morning without the index, then good on you. That's outstanding. But use your index if you have to. Let's learn a little bit about Zephaniah. See, Zephaniah, he was actually born into bloodshed. He's an Old Testament prophet. He was born into the violent and evil reign of Manasseh. You can read up all about Manasseh. Great reading if you like violence and evil. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, it's a pretty horrendous kingship under Manasseh. He reigned 55 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. In fact, he rebuilt all the Baals and the Asherahs, all the idolatry he brought back because King Hezekiah before him, he was a godly king. He didn't finish too well. He was a godly King Hezekiah. He destroyed the high places, all the idolatry. And Manasseh, well, he brought it all back. Not only did he bring back idolatry, he was a bloodthirsty leader. In fact, his reign was so violent that we could probably liken it maybe on par to what happened in the killing fields in Cambodia between 75 to 79, where the Khmer Rouge slaughtered 2.5 million people. I think we can probably put Manasseh's kingship maybe on par with that. Have a listen to 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 16. Manasseh also shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem from end to end. Zephaniah was born into this kingship. He was born basically into something of a genocide. And so Zephaniah's name means, get this, the Lord hides or the Lord protects. Possibly it could be a prophetic stamp that his parents put on him to say that, you know what, God is still sovereign in the bloodshed. God is still sovereign in the rank idolatry. But along came Josiah, just a couple of kings after Manasseh. Along came Josiah, a godly, godly king. You can read up all about Josiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. He actually got rid of all the high places, the idolatry, the Baal and the Asherah worship. Not only that, he brought back the Torah, the book of the law. He got it out of basically the vault in the temple, dusted it off, and he read the Torah, the law, which is an act of grace so that Israel can have relationship relationship with God. Josiah was a good king. And Zephaniah, well, he's prophesying in the reign of Josiah. Talk about a contrast for him. He was born under a bloodthirsty, violent, evil king, and he prophesied under quite a godly king in Josiah, probably around 630 BC. And I guess the second thing we learn about Zephaniah is that he came from a privileged family. If you've got your Bibles there and you know where Zephaniah is, you're all very intrigued about this character, I'm sure. Zephaniah, he came from a very privileged family. In chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, son of Cush, the son of Gedaliah, and the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah. So Zephaniah is from a royal family. He grew up in the extended royal family. And so this is pretty evident when you read through Zephaniah, because I know this afternoon you're all going to read through Zephaniah, aren't you? You've got to go home and read the Word of God, the living Word of God, and you'll discover that, you know what, Zephaniah, he actually speaks and prophesies into the influential in Israel. He understands the legal system. He understands the religious system. He understands the excess of wealth. And so what does Zephaniah do? Basically, the whole book is a book of judgment and condemnation until we get to chapter 3. So Zephaniah, he condemns the royals. And you would expect this for somebody that's grown up in the royal family himself. He condemns the priesthood, and he basically says that religious leaders, you've led Israel astray, God's wrath is coming. He condemns the judges and civil leaders, and he basically says to the magistrates and lawyers that you've used your privileged position and you have taken advantage of those that can't speak for themselves. And he also condemns merchant bankers and the complacent rich. And he says, because you have not looked after the poor and the excess of wealth, then God's judgment is coming on you. What a great place to get a vision from, hey? But thank goodness for chapter 3. Zephaniah, he actually claimed that his message came from God. And that's pretty much all we know about Zephaniah, apart from some of that background information. Now you're a bit more familiar with him, but Zephaniah claimed that his message was from God. Have a look in the first verse. The word of the Lord came to Zephaniah. That Hebrew word came literally means to be. So the force of this phrase, it's actually a pretty potent phrase, the word of the Lord came to Zephaniah. That word came literally means to be. So the force of this phrase could sound something like that the word of God became a living, present reality to him. The word of God became a living, present reality to Zephaniah. So what he is actually saying is that I am delivering the very words to God, of God. And that's why the Bible is the living word of God, because it's the very words of God. And therefore, even today, we should take note and have our lives come under the living word of God. So Zephaniah's message, though, is also a message of hope and restoration. Thank goodness for chapter 3. Because we come to where Zephaniah points that the people of God will also share in a glorious future. Yes, God's judgment and wrath is coming, but God is also a God of love and mercy as well. In this last section of Zephaniah, where our vision for this year is emerging, there's a message of great hope. There's a message of great restoration for God's people. And this message of hope, it stands out brightly. Think of a dark lit night and a lighthouse that just stands out, a bright light in the darkness. Why this hope and restoration? It stands out because it's against the dark background of God's judgment and his wrath. God's a God of love and mercy, but he's a God of judgment and justice. That's the God that we serve. That is who our King is. Zephaniah's message is not just a message of judgment. It's not just a message of pessimism. Although it was the living word of God and it is true. I want to encourage us, you know, as I think just about for us living here 2015, it certainly seems that for us, not just within our church community, but just as we exist in life, that there is a constant pessimism about the future. Have you noticed that? Turn on the media. Have a listen. There's this constant pessimism about the future. And you know, this pessimism for us as disciples of Jesus, well, yes, you know what? We need to be realistic. You know what? God's judgment and wrath is coming. That's true. And I believe that. But you know, this pessimism about the future for disciples of Jesus, it can actually shatter our kingdom perspective. We can get weighed down in the pessimism and we can be paralyzed about future fear. And suddenly pessimism and future fear, they fuse and we can lose perspective as disciples of Jesus. And I think this pessimism fused with future fear, it's on lots of levels. It's in our global village. You know, consider the threat of terrorism, and it's a real threat. Consider, I guess, the debate around rising sea levels and global warming. Consider natural disasters. You know, if we get lost in the sheer pessimism of all of that, then we will lose perspective as disciples, because God is still sovereign. He is still powerful. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Regardless what happens on planet Earth, we can lose perspective if we get bogged down by pessimism that is fused with future fears. But what about on a personal level? Like unemployment, like poor health, life's direction, or a relationship that needs to be reconciled. Sometimes we can be so pessimistic about a relationship that's broken that we never give it an opportunity to heal. And we get paralyzed in the dysfunction, and we can lose perspective that God is a reconciling God, to take for example. God can do the impossible, remember. Well, there can be a church pessimism fused with a future fear. It would be very tempting for us to say, you know what, the best days are behind us. It would be very tempting to do that. It would be very tempting to actually say that, you know what, there'll never be a time like, and you finish off that sentence. That would be a mistake. You know, before us, yes, is a blank chapter. And yes, we're titling it Shoulder to Shoulder on this date today. But we could also get lost in a pessimism fused with future fear that takes us nowhere, where we lose perspective. And I'm not prepared to live in that place. You know, I was reading an article in the paper on my holidays, and it was just around the opinion section, and it was this person basically saying that God's got a PR disaster on his hands, talking about Islam and terrorism. And then this person just had to kind of dig the Christians at the end. You know, 95% of the article was about God's PR problem with Islam, and yet right at the end, he just had to kind of try and put the boot into Christians. He had this phrase, and it was a laugh out loud moment, but he had this phrase where he says, and the church isn't much better. God's got a problem with the church in Australia because they're strumming their way to boredom. Think about that. Strumming their way to boredom. And I just think, well, maybe you've been, not quite sure what churches you've been hanging around, but yes, I guess there could be an edge of truthfulness to that. But is that us? Are we strumming our way to boredom? Are the best days for CBC behind us? I would like to say, no, not at all. I would like for us to sit in the reality of what Zephaniah's vision is for God's people. Zephaniah, you see, he doesn't remain in the despair. He doesn't remain there in the despair of fearful pessimism about the future. Not at all. Zephaniah, he looks forward to a glorious future for God's people. And I just would love to strongly advocate with all the passion and all the energy that I can muster in my body right now that we will write some new tomorrows together. In community, shoulder to shoulder, with the Lord's presence, with the Lord's strength, and with the Lord's guidance. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? That we will write some new tomorrows? We must not be lost in fearful pessimism about the future. Not at all. Rather, I think we must look to the future with the same zeal that Zephaniah actually had. I truly believe that the best days for CBC are not just in the previous chapters. Rather, I'd like to say that great days are also coming in the new tomorrows that you and I will write together. You know, it's imperative that this chapter, it's blank before us. It's imperative that this chapter, that there are an abundant stories of unity written into this new chapter. You see, it's not just the leadership or the staff that are putting pen to paper. It's us as a church, together, shoulder to shoulder, putting pen to paper, allowing God to do a work through us, a kingdom work through us. And it's imperative that this blank chapter before us is filled with stories of unity. And you know what? Unity can be experienced in these blank pages if we embrace, I believe, Zephaniah's God-given vision in 3:9. Zephaniah's vision that says, "Then I'll purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder." Purify is about the weight of our words. Call is about prayer and praise. Serve is about role and relationships. Purify. Let's unpack that a little bit. We're going to unpack this more across February. But purify. We're talking about the weight of words. Do you notice these words in Zephaniah's vision that says, "Then will I purify the lips of the people?" Zephaniah's vision about the future, it includes a picture of the remnant Israel worshipping the Lord with pure lips. Pure lips are essential in us together serving God in the blank pages before us. Pure lips. Proverbs 12:18 says this, because our words have weight. Proverbs says this, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Reckless words. Reckless words. They pierce like a sword. Think about that picture of a sword piercing into flesh. Our words, if they're reckless, they can pierce deep into our soul and bring disunity into a local church community. God longs for unity. Zephaniah's vision is about unity. But you know, the tongue of the wise, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Lips that are purified are lips where people are careful about what we say to each other, either to our face and definitely behind each other's backs. There's this interesting phrase, you may have heard it before, that loose lips sink ships. There's an edge of truth to that, you know. To have our lips purified is really about our weight of words. To have our lips purified also involves confession and reconciliation. You know, if we're encouraging each other or if we're serving shoulder to shoulder, the sparks can fly. We can and will hurt each other with our words. But purified lips also know reconciliation. And when you've been hurt, purified lips also are able to say, "Hey, that hurt when..." And for the receptor to go, "You know what, I'm really sorry that I acted in that way or I did that way, and please forgive me." And then that person says, "You know what, I forgive you. Let's move on. Let's keep serving shoulder to shoulder." Purified lips knows reconciliation. You know what? It's to our peril if we don't come under such clear teaching from the Word of God. Because for the Apostle Paul, what he was most afraid of for the local church was gossip and slander. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you can actually see what I'm talking about there. And I'm in Galatians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. No, that's cool. Paul says this in chapter 12, verse 20, halfway into that verse. Paul says, "I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I am afraid that when I come," Paul says. What scared the Apostle Paul most in a local church is that. Where there's gossip and slander, where there's outbursts of anger, where there's quarreling, where there's arrogance and disorder. That is what really scared the Apostle Paul, because that's a church that only knows disunity. They're not serving shoulder to shoulder at all. Moving in the same kingdom direction. Paul was terrified at such a church. You know, disunity, it comes from discouragement, But unity is born through encouragement. You know, if we've got purified lips, it's a first step in this vision. If we are genuinely encouraging each other with our words, the tongue of the wise, if we are reconciling where there's differences, if we're not speaking behind people's backs, I'll tell you, that is purified lips. And that's the vision of Zephaniah for God's people, purified lips. Unity is born through encouragement. And secondly, call. We're talking about prayer and praise here. Call on the name of the Lord. That's what's written in Zephaniah's vision for us. That all of them may call on the name of the Lord. All, that's a big all. That's an inclusive all. That's not just a couple. That's you and me. That's all. Everyone on our church database, anyone that calls CBC home, to this year is about calling on the name of the Lord together. We're talking about prayer and praise, a commitment to prayer, a commitment to praise, a commitment to calling on the name of the Lord, because that is the only hope we have. Call on the name of the Lord. See, God's word to Zephaniah, it lifts our eyes to a better vision. It lifts our eyes to call on the name of the Lord. We're talking about praying together. We're talking about praising God together. Throughout 2015, there's going to be opportunities for us to be shoulder to shoulder in prayer. Last year, we trialed a week of prayer and just opening the church up for a week. It was quite well attended too. This year, we want to have three opportunities where there's three, I guess, weeks of the year where, yes, we're open. It's a start. Can we pray more? Oh, of course we can. But here, how about this? It's a start to call on the name of the Lord together. There's actually one coming up on the 9th of February to the 13th. Don't worry too much about those dates. If you want to take note of those dates, do it. Get it in your diary. Could I please just ask, in those weeks, could you just come one night of the week that suits you in the conference room? It would be great. Every night that conference room is full. You know, Monday and Friday are quite low. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday have been quite full. Let's turn that around. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, let's make that conference room full. On that week of prayer, on the 9th of February, it's about praying into the vision shoulder to shoulder. It's about praying for a fresh unity in our church. We're going to be calling on the name of the Lord because that's the vision that we're sitting under this year. It's praying shoulder to shoulder. And the other two blocks, they're going to have themes to them. I won't unpack them now, but we'll certainly give you plenty of notice of those weeks of prayer. But come, please, come, let's pray and call on the name of the Lord together and to praise his name shoulder to shoulder. You know, there isn't a week, there is a weekly event. It happens obviously every week here. It's called a church service. Every week we have an event, it's called church. And you know, your presence is such an encouragement as we worship and praise his name together. This is about praising his name together. In your bulletins this week, you'll notice that there is an outline of all our sermon series. Please put that somewhere nice and safe, and you can actually see what sermon series we're up to. And so making a commitment and a consistency at church is important because it's about shoulder to shoulder praising his name. That's what church is about. We're here shoulder to shoulder to praise his name. Make sure that you take home that brochure outlining our sermon series. But also, just on two Saturday nights, we want to praise his name. The Reworship Band, we're so blessed under Sam's leadership to have our Taste and See nights. Just two Saturday nights. I would love to see Saturday nights look like this, wouldn't you, Sam? Saturday night, and we back up and we come to church the next day in the morning on Sunday and re-worship. Who was there at the first Taste and See? We had about 90 to 100. Hey, there's quite a few hands going up. That Taste and See night, it's a blocks of songs and praise, and we want to call on the name of the Lord and we want to praise his name. And there are two dates there, the 21st of March, Saturday night. Come along, bring the family. Let's praise and worship God as families, not just individually. This vision is about us together, shoulder to shoulder, in prayer and praise, calling on the name of the Lord. And lastly, serve. Do you notice that Zephaniah says, and serve him shoulder to shoulder? That's a pretty big hymn, isn't it? Think about that hymn. That hymn created the universe. That hymn has carved a salvation plan to redeem this whole planet in the new heavens and the new earth. That Him sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross and rise again so that we will not face the coming wrath, yes, held accountable, but so we can experience God today. That Him, we're talking about the Lord God of all, the Lord God Almighty. Who are we serving? Him. How are we serving Him? In community, shoulder to shoulder. That's the vision. That we together will serve Him shoulder to shoulder. In 2015, it's imperative that we can have serving roles in this local church community. It's imperative. Because if we're not serving together, there's no shoulder to shoulder. A lot of this vision hinges on, is there a role here for you to serve in, big or small? It's okay. Because when we unite for a kingdom cause and we get to serve shoulder to shoulder, something marvelous happens. You know what it's called? It's called the kingdom of God. We don't always see it, but the kingdom of God is like an incoming tide of water that no one can stop. And it's the Spirit of God using us to bring kingdom momentum. And that's why unity is so important. All moving in the same direction under Christ Jesus as the head of the church. You see, when we serve, we're serving for a cause, and community happens as we serve shoulder to shoulder. Cause and community are united through role and relationships. We're going to unpack that a little across February, but cause and community are united through role and relationships. Shell and I have been getting into this show, Chicago Fire. Anyone watch Chicago Fire? We're not on our own, babe. We're not on our own. Parents of young kids, do you love the golden hour? You know when the kids are in bed and it's just quiet? Love the golden hour? Give me some smiles if you love that golden hour or so when you just get to catch up. Well, we've watched season one and season two. It's great. Never really took off in Australia. It's a shame, really. That's cool. We got the box sets and we just love in that golden hour to go fire show. It's awesome. It's just our little kind of coffee, watch a show. It's really quite cool, isn't it, babe? And get the nod there. But when I watch this show, it's such a timely reminder for me. Yes, I know that these firemen are paid to do a job, but they, in essence, taste what happens when you all move in the same direction to attend to a crisis and you serve shoulder to shoulder. In those moments, something marvelous happens. A depth of community that wouldn't be birthed if you're not serving shoulder to shoulder. Do you follow? Got a little clip to show you, to give you just a little bit of a mental picture to what I'm talking about as we serve shoulder to shoulder. Roles and relationships deepen community, brings unity. Check out this clip from Chicago Fire. You know, the cause of rescue, it unites rescuers, and a profound depth of community is birthed. We've got a crisis, church. Jesus named the crisis. Jesus said, "Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. Narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and only a few are on it." You know, we are the Lord's soldiers. We are serving under King Jesus, our commanding officer. There is a crisis, church. There are men and women that are on a wide road. And they may not acknowledge it right now, but they depend on the local church uniting shoulder to shoulder to minister to anyone on the road to say, stop going on the wide road. Have a look at this narrow road. You can meet Jesus, and shoulder to shoulder, you can experience a community like no other on the face of this planet. And it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to us. I think it's profound that, you know, when you have a role in our church, we unite for a cause. Yes, such a cause deepens that community. Yes, we serve shoulder to shoulder. So it's just really imperative that you can actually say this year, hey, I'm part of CBC and my serving role is, can I ask you a question? Where will your serving role be in 2015? Because when you take on a role, it can be a small role, big role, it's okay. It's all important in this local church. Because when you take on a role, you get to serve shoulder to shoulder with someone. And when you serve for a kingdom cause, community can't help but be deepened. Unity is essential. Unity is essential. The Apostle Paul, as we finish up, the Apostle Paul said this in Romans. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement, you see, that's our God, he gives encouragement. We've got to pay that on, pay that forward. May he give you encouragement, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our purpose, that we as a church community glorify God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, with hearts and mouths all working in sync, and us together serving shoulder to shoulder in unity, moving forward in a God-given direction. Do you follow? Unity is everything in the local church, I believe. It is so crucial. And Paul backs that up in Ephesians. You see, he was afraid of disunity in Corinth. He proclaimed unity in Rome. And now to the church at Ephesus, he also says these words, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul cares about unity because the local church depends on it. Yes, Christ is the head of our church. But unity is essential. Wouldn't you agree? It was so, so important for the Apostle Paul that his churches were places of unity. And it takes effort. It takes effort. Unity doesn't just happen. You know, we're a less of a church when you're not here on a Sunday. We're a lesser of a church when we're not careful with our words. We're a lesser of a church when you're not here to pray, or you're not here to call on the name of the Lord together in your home church, praising him. We're a lesser of a church if you say, no, I can't serve. You know what? We all do that. We're going nowhere. But if we come under this glorious future that Zephaniah paints for the people of God, unity will take hold in this church. It starts with what you and I do. We're not just passengers here in this church. We can't be. We all have a role to play. It's about what we do with our words. It's about how we pray together and praise his name. It's about serving together with a role where relationships deepen. You know, we've got some a little bit of a take-home for you this morning. It's just a fridge magnet. It's only a fridge magnet. We get lots of fridge magnets at the start of the year, don't you? You get different calendars from all sorts of people. Hey, push them aside. There's no more important fridge magnet, I don't think, than this. Make this the centre. We're going to hand out some fridge magnets. It's just got our vision on it, shoulder to shoulder, with our verse, Zephaniah 3:9, looking at purify, call, and serve. And it's got our website on it. Can I just encourage you to take this home and just put it on your fridge so that we can have daily reminders about what our vision is for us as a church here in Caringbah Baptist Church in 2015. I hope that you noticed, some people haven't, but on your way in, you may have noticed that there's a whole bunch of photos there. Can I encourage you to check that out on your way out with our vision shoulder to shoulder? The reason why we chose those photos, they're photos about us. It's about our church. It's about our family. We wanted to kind of create, like when you walk into somebody's home, you see their family photos. When you walk into here, you start to see some of our family photos. We're going to enter into a time of prayer, and we've got some people that are going to be praying around purify, call, and serve. Next week, we're going to be looking at purify the weight of words. The week after, we're looking at call, prayer, and praise. And the week after, we're looking at serve, role, and relationships. Across February, we're unpacking our vision, but the vision isn't just for February. It's for us this year. We have blank pages before us. An opportunity to write some new tomorrows. The title of the chapter is Shoulder to Shoulder. And can I invite you to join in with us as we experience a new, fresh unity in the life of our church. Let me pray. Father God Almighty, we thank you for Zephaniah's vision, a glorious future for your people. Father, we long to be a church where our lips are purified, where we call on your name, and where we serve together, shoulder to shoulder. Hear these prayers in these moments that we petition before you. And can you, Father, breathe into our church a fresh unity as we move forward together as your children? You are the head of this church, Jesus, and we just long to hear from you. So hear from us as we turn to you now in prayer.